Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Episode 13-23 on Radio Free Readout. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and it is yet another beautiful evening. We're hanging on by our fingernails to this beautiful summer weather, which is actually unseasonably warm, but we're liking it. And every one of you out there, most of you, are really enjoying it too, because we need that hot weather to get those tomatoes and corn and everything else to finally reach maturity so we can start canning and preserving food and living like the independent redoubters that we are. Actually, I'm not doing any canning this year, but we had to do a little bit of an inventory of what we had going on, and I want to talk a little bit about that, kind of doing a self-inventory. And tonight's show is titled, In Case of Emergency. I want to walk with you through this process of doing an inventory, a personal inventory about where you are. All of us have plans where we'd like to be as far as our level of preparedness for a number of different possible scenarios that we could be facing. And the Lord has blessed us with the foresight, with the advance warning that there's trouble on the horizon. And He has blessed us with the ability to see what's coming so that we can see the danger, so that we can take refuge, so we don't have to just keep going on and suffer for it. And He also said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Well, we can't use that excuse, because there's no shortage of information out there that we are heading into some times that are unparalleled, or maybe have been paralleled in some very exceptional times in history. But when we look at history and we look at the parallels and the indicators of where we are as a culture and a world, economically, socially, politically, we know that we had better start preparing for some very difficult times ahead. Well, that's what the Voice of the American Redoubt is all about. That's one of the things. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Facebook at .com/Radio Free Readout. And of course, you can also follow us on Twitter. Let's see. I wanted to cover a couple of different things. I got several things I want to go over this evening, but I want to get the news and commentary knocked out. So we'll go ahead and do that. The news and commentary this evening is brought to you by Revolutionary Realty, specializing in helping redoubters and patriots and preppers relocate, find the property that's ideal for their needs, and they specialize in helping folks relocate to the Panhandle region of North Idaho. Okay, first in the news, I want to remind you, those of you who don't know, Springfield Armory has a recall right now. They're initiating a voluntary safety recall to upgrade the 3.3 XDS 9mm and the 3.3 XDS 45 ACP pistols with some new components which eliminate the possibility of a potentially dangerous condition. They want to emphasize that no injuries have been reported to date. Springfield is determined that under exceptionally rare circumstances, some of those models, the 3.3 XDS 9 and the 45 ACP caliber pistols, could experience an unintended discharge during the loading process, when the slide is released, or could experience a double fire when the trigger is pulled once. The chance of those conditions existing is exceptionally rare, but if they happen, serious injury or death could occur. So if you have one of those models, get a hold of Springfield Armory. I'm going to post on our highlights and resources posting late tonight the website to take you to that, springfieldrecall.com, if you don't want to wait for that link. That's springfieldrecall.com. Okay, let's see. We got some news from the American Redoubt. Let's cover what's going on there first, and then we'll branch out into the national news. Not really a whole lot that I really wanted to focus on. Kind of interesting, though, out of the Casper Star Tribune, an Indiana man plans to move to Wyoming this month and establish the Justice Party. Well, that sounds great. Or does it? How do we use justice today? When you hear it in the media, what do we think of when we think of justice? It's usually not really liberty and freedom-minded justice. You know, social justice, environmental justice, economic justice, that kind of stuff. Well, formed in 2011, the party demands banking reform. Okay, I could agree with that. It supports a ban on corporate donations to political campaigns. A ban? Let's see. It seeks better health care reform than that offered by the Affordable Care Act. Well, any kind of health, health care reform. It also mandates climate justice. There we go. Climate justice, which calls for the stabilization of greenhouse gas emissions while ensuring food production and economic development are sustained. So I'm not really sure what their platform is. Something to definitely keep an eye out for. When I see climate justice, all kinds of alarms go off in my head. Something that just my gut's telling me this is not something that we need in the American Redoubt, especially greenhouse gas emissions. Well, that's with all the coal mining and production going on in the American Redoubt, that could just be an enemy to one of our biggest industries. Okay, let's see here. National news. Was there an environmental crimes raid? A task force in Alaska, including members of 10 state and federal law enforcement agencies, descended on a gold mine in the tiny town of Chicken, Alaska, population 17, last month, in what locals described as a raid. This guy describes this raid as agents swarming over it like ants, wearing full body armor, jackets that say police emblazoned on them, and all packing sidearms. A spokesman for the Federal Environmental Protection Agency did not deny that agents wore body armor and carried guns, but said it was not a, quote, raid. The ongoing investigation conducted by the Alaska Environmental Crimes Task Force consisted of all kinds of alphabet soup agencies, state and federal, did not result in a raid, the statement read. The task force members involved in the investigation, it's an investigation, it's not a raid, during the week of August 19th, were EPA's Criminal Investigation Division and Bureau of Land Management's Office of Law Enforcement and Security. BLM's got law enforcement and security. EPA's got a SWAT team, Criminal Investigation Division, in cooperation with ADEX Environmental Crimes Unit. Man. The investigation was into possible violations of the Clean Water Act. Very, very serious, according to the EPA. According to the EPA, law enforcement officers, according to the statement, are not only authorized but required to carry firearms to safely and effectively perform their jobs, which may include the arrest of offenders and the protection of public safety. The statement continued. Now, listen to this. Environmental law enforcement, like other forms of law enforcement, always involves the potential for physical, even armed, confrontation. So basically, they are required to carry weapons and body armor, basically come in like a SWAT team, because of public safety. But of course, for public safety, they won't use that reason for you to be able to be armed. And this is really interesting, because now we have the EPA. We're talking, I think EPA, and I think of guys with lab coats dipping little eyedroppers in the creek to take samples to see if you, you know, dumped something in the water. Now, I understand that we don't want chemicals and things like that going into our water that could hurt people downstream. What we're seeing is this militarization of every branch of our government. I mean, if these guys are so concerned, if they have safety issues, concerns, why would they not go to the local sheriff and say, hey, we're going to take some samples out of this stream to see if some hard chemicals were dumped into this stream. And some of these guys don't really like us up there. So could we get some deputies to accompany us? That's the reasonable and sensible approach. But not in an ever-growing government that on federal and state levels where they're becoming more and more militarized. I mean, we got law enforcement officers and basically office geeks now going out in full body armor, all tacked out, like they look like they're about ready to go on patrol in Afghanistan. And we're just seeing so much more of this. They're building a machine. They are building a machine. Every branch of our government now has some type of law enforcement, tactical, SWAT, some type of posture that goes along with mundane tasks that have to do with carrying out government activities. And this is not a good sign. It goes right along with this other article. DHS goes on another munitions spree with your money. Nearly $700 million has been allocated for the purchase of firearms and ammunition by a variety of agencies within the Department of Homeland Security. This is additional, including some of the agencies, Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection, among several others, which all fall under DHS. $700 million in ammunition and weapons. Let's see what else is going on. More on the police state here. Washington, D.C. Not Washington in the American Redoubt. Washington, D.C. The other one. Way over there. Way away. Where it belongs. Washington police are operating under orders to arrest tourists and other non-residents traveling with spent bullet or shotgun casings. It's no such thing as a spent bullet casing. Unless they're talking about the copper jacket that may have separated from the bullet. But I think what they're talking about is a spent cartridge casing, also known as brass or shotgun cases. So this is a crime, a spent cartridge, brass, a casing, no primer, no powder, no bullet. It's a crime. It carries $1,000 fine, probably per incident. So don't get caught with 3 or 4 or 5 pieces of brass in your pocket. A year in jail and a criminal record, according to a new book about the city's confusing gun laws. Great expose done by Emily Miller in a book called Emily Gets Her Gun, But Obama Wants to Take Yours. She quotes in here, empty shell casings are considered ammunition in Washington, D.C., so they are illegal to possess unless you are a resident and have a gun registration certificate. Under the law, live or empty brass and plastic casings must be carried in a special container and available and unavailable to drivers. So having one, for example, in a cup holder or ashtray is illegal. She told Secrets that police are under orders to arrest tourists or other illegal gun owners from out of state who would think to empty brass and plastic from their cars or pockets. Okay, so more police state stuff. And boy, I feel bad for the people that are working in the Beltway. Well, I feel bad for some of them because there are a lot of patriots there. And that is just another great reason to move to the American Redoubt. But some of you are carrying out very important tasks while you are there. So Godspeed to you, and may he keep you safe until you can get out of occupied territory. Two more U.S. military units have been assigned for homeland security. NORTHCOM announced that an additional two military units will be assigned for domestic homeland security missions, bringing the total number of combat-ready service members operating inside the U.S. to around 4,700 as fears grow about the increasing militarization of law enforcement. What? I haven't heard of that. Militarization of our law enforcement? These people are just exaggerate. Okay, the announcement follows the controversy surrounding September 8th Army Times report revised on September 30th, which revealed that the 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team, right out of combat in Iraq, would be operating inside America for tasks including civil unrest and crowd control, a detail that was later denied by NORTHCOM despite the concession that forces would be armed with both non-lethal and lethal weapons as well as having access to tanks. Okay. Now, fortunately, the ACLU is useful occasionally. And in this case, they filed a Freedom of Information request demanding more information on the purpose and the scope of military assets under NORTHCOM control, especially being deployed domestically. Very interesting. And let's see here. Let's take a look. Speaking of us being able to defend ourselves, here's a great story that came out of Texas, the Republic of, and what was the Texas Redoubt until it's about ready to get its borders blown wide open, and then while we're starting to get more and more Texans actually redoubt to the American Redoubt because huge portions of Texas are basically being overrun and invaded. And our government's not doing anything to stop it. Pretty interesting. But anyway, there's still a lot of patriots in Texas. And there's this one case where this wife, pregnant, at home, did not like the idea of her husband buying a gun several months ago, protested that she did not want a gun laying around the house, and was... The problem with the anyway, let me just go ahead and move on here. The husband insisted she learn how to use a gun to protect herself just in case. It was just a few months ago that he took her out to teach her the basics. The pregnant woman, identified only as Alex, told the local television station there. She was startled by the sound of a man banging loudly on her front door while the other man walked around to the back of her Palm View, Texas home. Her husband had just left 20 minutes before, suspected that these guys were casing the place, waited for the husband to leave the young pregnant wife alone, and then decided to hit the place. Well, she reluctantly grabbed the gun and had that in one hand and the phone in the other hand. And when these guys finally busted through the door, they saw that she had a gun. She apparently leveled it toward them in one of their directions, and they took off, ran. So she fired around into their truck, anti-gunner. Everyone's, these people that are anti-gun, they're anti-gun until they're being attacked. But this is a real-world situation that changed the heart and the mind of another unbeliever, turning her into a believer. And this is what she had to say.
I was against him buying a gun maybe like 7 or 8 months ago, but I told him, I don't know if I've told you, thank you for doing that, because it changed the situation completely.
Good stuff. So speaking of hearts and minds, the Democrats in Colorado State tried piercing the hearts and the minds of their citizens by, despite an overwhelming majority of pro-gun citizens among Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, and independents, these Democrats that charged forward led the way to some of the most draconian anti-gun legislation in the country besides New York in response to the school shooting last year. Everyone said, don't do it. You are committing political suicide if you ram through this anti-gun legislation. And they said, emotions, and children, and more emotions, and children, emotions, guns bad, emotions. And then they passed it anyway. So they just had the recall and sent these guys out on their butts. And so congratulations to the Patriots and the citizens in Colorado for throwing these people out on their head, sending a powerful message. One Democrat state Senate senator said that basically this is just a this is symbolic. Well, yeah, it's more than symbolic. This is things are going to change in Colorado real quick because they're going to have the governor elections and they're going to have they have elections coming up and there's several seats that are going to get unseated. So good job and congratulations. Let that be a message to you guys. Now, that's one small victory and yay for the blue team. But you know what? If we've got a lot of problems in our country. If something happened where everyone had an epiphany in the middle of the night and woke up tomorrow and said, okay, gun laws are dumb. We're rolling back every gun prohibition effort, every law, every ordinance. Anybody can have any kind of firearm they so choose. We're still in a lot of trouble as a nation. I just want you to know these small victories are great battles to win. But we're losing the war because we have major social issues. We have economic issues that most people cannot even wrap their minds around. The tidal wave, the freight train that's coming at us, the political breakdown, the division, the balkanization of our country. We're divided. We're turning away from God. We've got a lot of stuff stacked against us, really, to be quite frank. And we can't just fix one thing. We can't just defeat gun legislation. I mean, these are all battles that are deserving of our efforts, and we need to be fighting them. But, for the whole giant machine that's coming, you push it back one step and it gains two steps. It's just, we're losing it. We're losing the battle. And it's very frustrating. But man, we were warned. Communism, these leftist ideas, these progressive ideas. We just went to sleep for too long and it got too deeply entrenched and rooted and into our culture and into our society. So anyway, not trying to take anything away from that victory, but I also want to keep things in perspective that when a small victory like this, like recalling these senators, these elected officials in Colorado, when this happens, it seems like the conservatives sit back and go, ah, that was great. We won that one. And then they kind of check out. And they don't stay engaged in the fight. They don't seem to seize momentum and opportunity when it rises. It's like they fight in bursts. And they burst out with this boom, pushback, and then they just kind of deflate. And they just kind of sit there like this bowl of Jell-O and just kind of let the liberals kind of, you know, play with it and push it around and until we get all fired up again over something. Am I wrong? It's just the way that it seems. It's just the way that it seems. So anyway, we will not have a Fox 519 eye on the economy. he's having some issues like, hey, welcome to life, Fox 519. He's got a broken down vehicle, chainsaw stuck in a tree, frustrated, sweaty, covered in oil, dirt, wood chips, and a broken down truck. And so he didn't get the eye on the economy out to me this week. But God bless him anyway. It's just your turn, man. Good. Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and we're going to come back. I want to talk about preparedness because this September is preparedness month. And that's why I want to talk about this week titled In Case of Emergency. I want to get you kind of thinking about what would happen if something went down this coming week. Where would you be? Where would you be? What level would you be in your preparedness? What would your response level be? How effective could you be if something happened Tuesday, Thursday, next Saturday, or tomorrow? So anyway, we're going to talk about that when we come back. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Samuel Adams said, "If you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contests of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen." These bold words were a scathing rebuke against his fellow countrymen, who preferred to let tyranny prevail for a few handouts from the crown. I echo Mr. Adams' timeless sentiments. Sadly, today, we are once again surrounded by fellow countrymen who have lost their will to continue in the contest of freedom and have determined to become slaves for the tranquil lives they hold more dear than the liberty they've squandered. And as an American, I struggle to call them my countrymen. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. Drudge Report today announced that on the evening of June 24th, ABC News would, quote, have anchor Charlie Gibson deliver world news from the Blue Room of the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, the White House. The report went on that ABC plans a primetime special, Prescription for America, originating from the East Room, excluding opposing voices on the debate over socialized medicine. In recent years, many have raised concerns over the objectivity of the major media. Indeed, the presidential election of 2008, with its lack of transparency and hard questions of certain candidates, reinforced those concerns. But to have a major news organization broadcast from inside the White House, with the objective of promoting socialized medicine without debate, is proof positive that at least one major media outlet is no longer free. Thomas Jefferson opined on the subject to John Tyler in 1804, quote, "Our first object should therefore be to leave open to him all the avenues to truth. The most effectual hitherto found is the freedom of press. It is, therefore, the first shut up by those who fear the investigation of their actions." In this case, the press has not been shut up, but co-opted. This development is eerily similar to Pravda, the official news source in the former Soviet Union. Pravda means truth in Russian, but as the Russian people quickly learned, it never was. It was simply another branch of government promoting the agenda of the powers that be. Combined with the other attempts to massively expand our government, this development should raise the eyebrows of every American. I predict this will hasten the shift of more and more Americans away from major media to internet news sources. But this begs the question, will the government co-opt or control that next? Based on what we are already witnessing, this may come sooner than we think. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. We got it. We got it. We got it going on. We got it. 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 We got it
We're back on Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. My name is your name too, by the way. You liberty-loving, God-fearing patriots. I'm not John Jacob Schmidt. You are. No, you are. No, you are. And I am too. Okay, it's a concept. It's an idea, right? Okay, now, couple things I want to remind you of. First of all, thank you for your suggestions, ideas, feedback. And also, I don't get to cover every piece of intel that comes in. I don't distribute every piece of intel. Some stuff's being verified. Some stuff's questionable. Some sources haven't been vetted. A lot of this kind of stuff. But I really crave the information that you guys send in. Different stuff that's going on in the Patriot community, different things that are going on the national level, in the American Redoubt among Patriots, some of the issues that we're up against and things that concern us. I don't do the chain letter thing. And, you know, there's a couple, people that send me chain letters, and if you really love Jesus, you'll pass this on to 80 people and all that stuff. You know, it just gets to the point where once I recognize, you know, you get 5 or 6 a week, you just see the email and you just don't even read it anymore and just delete it. And, for real meaningful, relevant, things, information, links, and, intel, news stories and things like that, that are relevant to the American Redoubt and the Patriot movement and kind of where we are today. I value those things more than I can say. So please keep it up, because I just do not have the time to go and dig and research like I really would love to. So anyway, keep that stuff coming in. You can email that at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're listening on a CD, or if somebody sent you the podcast, the audio file or something, you can always visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com, and also click on the corresponding posting, which is always titled Episode 13, whatever that show is. So you can click on the highlights and some of the resources and hyperlinks and things that we discuss during each show. And I do my level best to try to keep that updated and accurate and complete, but sometimes, you know, just life happens and I get a little bit behind on that. So thank you also for the reminders. Let's see, a little update. The Amron frequency plan has been updated. There's the Amron frequency plan for regular American Redoubt Radio Operators Network frequencies for you to tune into to stay informed and connected in case something goes down and we lose our conventional, traditional communications means and methods and modes, for you to be able to stay connected with other hams, other redoubters, other patriots across the American Redoubt and even outside the wire, all across occupied territory. It's a nationwide network of communicators. But we have an Amron frequency plan in PDF for you to print out, so you know what frequencies to go to. But there has been a little bit of a disconnect because, starting back in April 18th of this year, we started doing regularly scheduled Amron nets for you to tune into and listen to Amron operators and other participating kind of prepper-minded ham operators, and those from TapperNet, the American Prepper Radio Net, which is primarily East Coast, has joined with Amron, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. So now we have two very large and growing communications nets consisting of a lot of ham radio operators on the East Coast and the West Coast. And so what we called it is Operation Golden Spike, where the East met the West, and now we are connected and running regular nets. You can look at the net schedule by clicking on the Amron net tab at the top of the page. But the problem was the Amron frequency plan we originally developed was inconsistent with the Amron nets that we now run. So we've merged those two and made those, what's the word? it's in accounting, rectified or you made a, we made a match up. So anyway, I also want to remind you that Amron Nets will be going on this coming week because they go on the first and third week of each month on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights. Wednesday nights are digital. That's your PSK 31 Nets, where that's mostly HF, and that's shortwave radio with single sideband. So get your communications equipment out, dust it off, get it all ready, and get your FL Digi program, which is a free download. Get that all fired up. Get ready to receive digital communications and hear these ham operators talk. Thursday nights are the voice nets. You can learn more about that by clicking on the tab. You can really learn a lot by actually getting involved. Now, speaking of getting involved, several of you got involved, and I even got to participate. AR15.com had an MCOM, that's Emergency Communications Exercise, this last week. And what they were doing was passing a prefix to a message and getting it, adding to it as it crossed the United States. I made contacts with ham operators who are participating with the MCOM, from AR15.com, New Hampshire, San Antonio, Texas, I want to say Missouri, and I could hear California, but they couldn't hear me for some reason. So anyway, the messages got sent across the United States, and ham operators were connected. So thanks for all of you who participated in that. Really good stuff. Okay, now this is segment two, and segment two is sponsored by Amp 3 Medical. Amp 3. There's a couple things I want to mention to you about Amp 3, and they have a schedule where they are putting on some just really hua classes. They're going to be at the Sustainable Preparedness Expo next weekend in Spokane, Washington at the fairgrounds, the September 22nd. That's the third annual Spokane Sustainable Preparedness Expo. There are 10 spots remaining for the class. It's emergency suturing. Observe for free. And then there's a fee for actual hands-on participants. You can register by clicking on their link, take them right on through to Amp 3, and get a hold of Dave. He is a U.S. Navy emergency room doctor, and very skilled, very just great patriots. He and Beth both are just amazing what they've done with Amp 3. It is growing. Man, that's taken off. He's also going to be teaching on medical emergencies in austere conditions. And then also they have a dentist, Howard Shane, has a class limited to 20 people, preparedness in dentistry. Dentist, you're talking about being in Teotihuacan and having a bad tooth. Something that when you got a bad tooth, nothing will shut you down besides getting shot in the femur. Like having a really bad screaming, split your head wide open toothache in the middle of a down situation. So anyway, this might be very well worth your time. They're also going to be at the Sustainable Preparedness Expo in Monroe, Washington. Now, this is occupied territory. This is in the Seattle area, okay? So you are deep in enemy territory there. But you will be around some like-minded, self-sufficient, minded, liberty-minded people at this expo. Probably a few, granola eating, some hippies thrown in and stuff like that. But for the most part, you're going to be surrounded by some, it should be safe. Should be safe for you to go. Washington State does have a really good concealed weapons policy and laws. So anyway, really good. Also, emergency suturing is going to be going on there. Medical emergencies in austere conditions and preparedness in dentistry. Also at both of those expos. So stop by and see them. Also, when you are in Spokane, stop by and say hi to Enola Gay and the rest of the folks over there at the Paratus Familia. shake their hands, tell them hi. And Ranger Rick will also be at the Spokane event. He will be teaching again this year. He's going to give a new class on bug out bags, everything but the kitchen sink. So you'll be able to sit and listen to what he has to say about. There's going to be a lot of good training and stuff going on there. Now, let's talk about the title for tonight's show, In Case of Emergency. Now, like I said, September is Preparedness Month. And I've been thinking about this, and I've been doing a personal inventory of my own preps. And now I kind of have a unique situation. I'm doing a lot of work to the house. It's not ready to be moved into yet. You know, in most parts of the house where we want the pantry is not ready yet. It's, so a lot of our stuff's still packed. And so, you know, you get to the point where you're like, man, I haven't even gone through my stuff in how long. I don't know what I have. I don't know, you know. And so I just kind of step back and say, if something happened on Tuesday, what would I do? Now, there's certain areas I'm really squared away in. There's some areas I'm lacking. Now, everybody got kind of fired up over the Syria situation. We go into Syria. What's China? What's Russia going to do? How's Iran going to respond? What's Israel's response? Oh boy, here we go. The nukes are going to start flying. The economy's going to tank. It's going to, there goes the petrodollar. There goes the economy. This is it. We're all hang on for the ride. Well, then Kerry says, we'll accept your deal. But we're not playing games. Okay, so now they're acting tough. They're actually playing their cards pretty right. Both sides are. This has been an amazing thing to watch unfold. But the posturing is very amusing. But it's not a game. And here's the scary part. Everybody says, oh, we're going to Syria. Oh, Russia's going to China, Iran. Oh, my gosh, here we go. And then all of a sudden they stop and everybody goes, oh, I guess it turned out to be nothing after all. Don't go back to sleep. Let me tell you something. Remember when I said 2 years ago, we don't know how it's all going to start. We don't know the timeline. We know it's coming. We know something's going to trigger. There goes the economy, there goes social, economic, everything, bam, comes down. And it might not happen for another 6 months, a year, 3 years. We don't know when it's going to happen. And I don't listen to anybody that says, oh, 6 weeks, we got 6 weeks. I'm hearing we got 6 weeks, we got 3 weeks, we got 2 months, we got for the last, you know, 20 years. It's going to happen when it happens. But I do believe this wholeheartedly. Once it starts, it's going to go down fast. It's going to go down so fast, it's going to make everyone's head spin. And it's going to come from something we don't even have on the radar yet. Now, it could be the Syria deal. Everybody sits back and says, oh, it turned out to be nothing. Well, it ain't over. This whole thing could explode so fast and overnight and catch everyone off guard when you sit back and think nothing's going to come of it. But 2 years ago, was Syria on our radar for what would trip everything? No. We were thinking Occupy movement. Oh, here we go. This is going to send everything into a tailspin. Okay, so we still might not know. We might not still be able to see exactly blow by blow, step by step, how everything's going to actually go down. It might be tied to Syria. It might have nothing to do with Syria. But it could happen in our country, 9/11 on a grand scale, multiple nuclear strikes or dirty bomb strikes in multiple cities could lock our country down so fast. You think that we're taking all the guns in Katrina was an isolated incident. You think that's not going to return? Hyperinflation, food shortages, whatever it is, civil unrest. Should we have to worry about civil unrest? Well, that's what they are planning for. Right now, almost all of the Department of Homeland Security, NORTHCOM, these interagency training, DHS training, all everything, even among our military and our reserves, National Guard, all the shifting and training and everything that's going on is all oriented toward civil unrest. October 1, I'm not putting dates on anything. Back up. October 1, though, is the deadline for a lot of stuff. We need these MRAPs delivered by October 1. We need 16 billion MREs by October 1. We need another 500 trillion rounds of ammunition by October 1. So you get all these deadline dates, right? Now, some people are like, oh, something's going down on October 1. Look at all. Well, October 1 is also the government's fiscal budget, their fiscal year. So what's happening is there are so many cuts in the federal government right now, they're getting slashed left and right. If you want, if you've got a wish list, you better get it in now. Because come October 1, your budget ain't going to look like anything like it did this year or the year before. You will probably never see those funds available to you again like what are available now. So, man, I'm going to put everything on there I can in my department. If I can just remotely justify some really cool gear, I'm going to do it. I mean, I would. But it's not just that, though. I mean, you could argue that. But you also have to say, wait, there's other things that are happening, too. There are training programs that are going on in the country right now, and a lot of it's focusing on the Northeast, where they are rapid fire training National Guard, Reserve, and even multiple agency organizations or coalitions, groups, to get them DHS certified, DHS trained in how to handle civil unrest. And they're really amplifying or accelerating the training for these people to get trained on certain aspects of a collapse. So anyway, I want to ask you something. If something happened, let's say Wednesday. Oh, please don't let anything happen Wednesday. I don't want to get blamed for it. If something happened Wednesday, what would you do? Are you prepared to communicate? Or were you gonna get a radio? Were you gonna do all these things? Who would you communicate with? So let's stop and think about this, because this is what AMRON is all about. And there's some great AMRON. There was an AMRON meeting that took place, and I was able to, you know, talk to some people. I'm gonna take a break here real quick. I'm gonna take a break. And really dive into this. But let me finish up with the communications portion. Spend about 2 or 3 minutes on this, and then we'll take a short break and we'll get into some of the other stuff. Communications. The American Redoubt Radio Operators Network is designed to keep patriots, like-minded, God-fearing patriots, and redoubters connected, and also to coordinate for rebuilding afterward, to coordinate efforts with leadership, with community, people in the community, and citizens to keep you informed. How would you stay informed? What frequency would you turn to? What time of day would you tune to that frequency? Or would you just leave it on all the time because you have an endless supply of batteries in a grid down situation? Or would you want to conserve your power by only tuning in on a certain frequency at certain times of the day for a window of time, and then turn everything back off? Because, you know, in 6 hours, 3 hours, or 1 hour, depending on what the communications is, people will be attempting to communicate with each other and share information. There was a meeting there over in Kootenai County in Idaho. I got to make the trip and participate in. Very active AMRON groups around, and the one over in Kootenai County is probably the most active and largest group of AMRON operators that are meeting, they're training, their new people are getting their ham licenses, they're learning about VHF, UHF, HF communications. This weekend was digital communications. They like built their own antennas, built a J-copper J-pole. They're learning the nuts and bolts of communications. They're going to be able to effectively communicate and keep others informed. Well, this last week they did PSK, phase shift keying. It's a digital mode of communications. It's sending a text message to someone else. But let me ask you, how would you communicate? Okay, cell phones go down, internet is disrupted or controlled, so you can't even hardly use it. Phones and internet down. How would you communicate with your brother, your best friend, your whatever, who's got 5-10 acres, and you all agreed you're going to coordinate together and link up and travel to this piece of property that you got all set up to get out of mayhem for a while until the dust settles? How would you contact them? What communications? What would happen if you tried to get a hold of them on your little FRS radio and you couldn't hear them and they couldn't hear you? Or other people had the same bright idea and you can't even talk because so many people are using whatever it is, your favorite channel. But if the propagation is such that you cannot reach them, do you have a backup plan for that? How would you receive information if in 3, 5, 10 days, the backup generators for your commercial broadcasting organizations no longer functioned and you couldn't get news from your regular AM or FM radio station? So you need to be prepared to receive information on HF and VHF and UHF. You need to be prepared to receive information on voice. You don't have to have a two-way radio. It'd be nice, but you can do this with a police scanner. You can type in the Amron frequencies, the VHF and UHF frequencies, into a scanner, right along with the FRS and the MERS. Or you can buy one of the Baofeng two-way ham radios, and you can put in the FRS frequencies and the MERS frequencies and the ham frequencies for the Amron operators, and it's have all in one where you can listen to more information and you can learn how to use it in an emergency. You do not need to be licensed to operate a ham radio if you are in a life or death situation. You need to be able to learn to receive digital communications. That's PSK31 and CW, Morse code. Someone asked why. Why are we going through this at this Amron meeting? It was a very valid question. Why? What's the importance of having the ability to receive or even send PSK31? Well, great question. The reason why, and Morse code is actually even better, is because the bandwidth that your voice takes up going over a radio is huge. It takes way more power and way wider bandwidth to send a voice signal across a radio. It takes a tremendous more power to send digital little beeps and dits and warbles and sounds, or dits and dahs if you're sending Morse code, is a very narrow, hair thin, almost narrow part of the bandwidth. And it takes way less power, where I can talk to somebody 20 miles away with my voice. It might require 20 or 30 watts of power for them to hear me. But using digital, I can transmit on 1, 2, 3, or 5 watts and send a text message to them that goes faster. Well, not faster than your voice, but it uses way less power, way less bandwidth. If there's other crowding on the band, that little digital message can slip right through it all and get to where it needs to go. It's a great thing. So I could talk to somebody a lot farther with a lot less power when power conservation is key. So the other thing too is, if only a limited number of people are using PSK or Morse code, and you and your buddy are trying to coordinate with each other, most people know English. So if you coordinate with your buddy hey, meet me over at the corner of blah-bitty-blah, everybody and their brother with a radio can hear exactly where you plan on meeting your brother. But if you shoot him over on your little laptop, whip it out, hook it up to your radio, and send him a little burst, bzzz, or Morse code, and then you have something that no one else can understand or hear, and it's just a really annoying, screechily sounding thing going across the radio, and you've semi securely communicated with your brother. Now, anybody else with PSK could, you know, decipher that and listen too, but that's not going to be your dirtbag opportunistic criminals with that capability. So there's several reasons why to use this, and that's why we want to encourage you to get up to speed. It was really great because several people, with my Wook son, I was sending a digital message, my little 5-watt handheld, talking to somebody else on their Baofeng with our little baby, little laptops, little netbooks hooked up. I send him a message. He sends me a message. We're texting back and forth over the radio with our little handheld radios. And some reports were, when they were first experimenting with this, plugging the cables in and hooking everything up to their digital PSK, their FL Digi software, 30 miles away. Wait, let me back up. About 18 miles away on 1 watt of power, they were sending digital. 1 watt of power with your voice, you're going to be lucky to talk to somebody a half a mile away or 2 miles away, line of sight on top of a hill looking at each other. So anyway, really good stuff. Now, the other cool thing was the RMS Express, sending email peer-to-peer back and forth, where we can send emails to each other just like a regular email program, but only it goes over the internet. It goes over the radio, completely independent of any infrastructure. We needed nothing from the world because we were both hooked up to our own 12-volt deep cycle battery with our little radio and our little battery-powered laptop. And we were sending emails. If the power went out, the internet went down, the cell phone towers were disrupted, we could send emails to each other with attachments. I could send them a document. I can attach a photo. And we can do this while the rest of the world's completely in the dark. It's a very cool thing. So I want you to think about this. How would you communicate? Who would you communicate with? Do you have the equipment to communicate? There are a couple things I want you to think about. One is short local communications. And for that, you're going to need a Wuxun or a Baofeng or some type of, those are just the cheap Chinese models, but they're very capable. You get what you pay for. That's the general rule. But these things are the exception. These things are very, very affordable. $35 to $40 for a Baofeng, $120 for a Wuxun, and you have the ability to communicate on several different bands, and including digital modes. That's your local communications. For long range, when these ham operators start communicating, you need to be able to receive digital communications and voice. There's a Sony, it's the Sony, there's several, but this, actually on the Amazon link over there on the right, scroll down about halfway down on the website on radiofreereadout.com, there are links to some really good, little portable and affordable, single sideband shortwave radios. And, those are the kind of happy medium. We're going to be talking a lot more about this in the future, but I just want to share that with you. I want you to start thinking about the communications. Who would you talk to? What kind of equipment? And some people are saying, I don't know what to get. Just tell me what to get. I don't have the time to research. This is all over. It's way over my head. And I just tell me what to buy. I have a really simple solution to that. The Wuxun or the Baofeng for your local communications. And then your probably like the Sony single sideband or the Cato or the Grundig shortwave receivers with an external antenna and string the longest antenna you can possibly string up, preferably outdoors. It will greatly enhance the performance. Anyway, okay, you still, though, you have to power these things up. So I want to talk about that. What are you going to do in case of emergency? How would you power these things? How would you recharge them? Or would you be in the dark? Coleman lantern's really great, but my Coleman lantern will not charge my Wooksun radio. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. In case of emergency, that's what we're talking about.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Readout, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
All right, this is the voice of the American Redoubt, and we are back in segment three talking about in case of emergency. If something went down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, 2 weeks from now, don't think 2 weeks from now, because you're going to start thinking you got all kinds of time. What if something happened tomorrow? Where are you set right now in your preps? Now, I know we're all trying to do the best we can with what they got, with what we've got. And sometimes, now, I also want to caution you that sometimes we start acting all frantic and we stop focusing on, you know, trusting in the Lord, and we try to take things into our own hands, and we think that we can. Here's the thing. You have to rely on the Lord. All of your preps can just go away, but it's also very scriptural to stock up and to store up and to take refuge when you see danger. That's what we're supposed to do. You're called to provide for your family. So I don't want people to, start freaking out and, oh, I'm behind the curve. Oh, just listening to Radio Free Readout, and I got so much to do. And start running back and forth like Chicken Little. Look, you just do the best you can, and you keep trudging along through your plans. It's like an insurance policy. And I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to get, look, preparations, get prepared. And they say, I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to live in fear because I'm going to trust in the Lord. Well, when you buy car insurance, are you caving into your fears that you might get in a car accident? Well, that's mandatory. That's the law says you have to have car insurance. Okay. Medical insurance, fire insurance for your house, homeowner's insurance. We buy insurance because we're taking a calculated risk that we know something could happen. And so we don't go and buy fire insurance and then think, oh my gosh, I just totally didn't trust in the Lord. No, it's you don't live in fear over getting in a car accident when you go and buy your insurance. So it's the same thing when you see the potential, especially for very high probability that there's going to be an economic collapse and food shortages, from what all the experts who are paying attention are saying. What do we do? How do we hedge against this? Well, some people focus on the financial side of things. Well, this is how you can protect your investments and move them into this and that. But beyond that, what do I do? Well, food shortages. We can expect food shortages, and even if there's food there, you won't be able to afford it. So at least to supplement your income or supplement your food until things right themselves, experts are saying stock up on food. And beyond that, things that are tangible, things you could put your hands on, something that could be of value to someone one day. So, we're talking about in case of emergency. What would you do if something happened tomorrow or the next day? What if something happened this week? Well, we just talked about in the last segment, we talked about communications. And we talked about the power, powering those communications. Okay, so let's talk about that. What made me think of this also is that I have a generator. It's a nice Generac, 3,600 watt generator. Went and fired it up, and it's the engine's just like, it's pulsating. And then as soon as you put a load on it, anything more than a 25 watt light bulb, it just kills the engine. So I have a carburetor issue. I have a carburetor that is sticking. The floats are sticking in there. Now, it's a really simple fix. Rebuilding a carburetor, one of those little carburetors on a generator, is real easy, and the kits are cheap. But it's something that I have to do. There's something that I didn't take into consideration. You just took it for granted. And shame on me. I didn't put Stabil in it, or with the ethanol treatment, which is you want to put in everything, or Seafoam. Some people argue Seafoam is the way to go as opposed to Stabil. Some people say put them both. Put a quarter cup of Seafoam and a quarter cup of Stabil in your 5-gallon fuel can. Okay, so what are you going to do to power? Is it sufficient if it's going to work this week? If something goes down this week and I need my generator, I'm in trouble. So that's going to move to the top of my priority list. What I want to do is encourage you to take an inventory. See, because I can power up. I have a small battery bank, a few batteries. But I don't have all the cables to hook them all up in parallel. So that's something else that I need to think about. Now, it's something that I've been meaning to do. Something that I'm working on. It's on my list. But it doesn't matter when things go down. If it was on your list and you don't have it, you don't have it. Now, what I could do is go out and take a vehicle that's not being used, and I could strip the cables off of that and cannibalize it, and I could get my battery banks hooked up. Okay, so starting to think a little bit outside the box right there. But then once the juice is gone from those batteries, how do I recharge them? I don't have a solar panel yet. I mean, I have one of those little 15-watt solar panels, but I don't have a 100-watt solar panel. I could run my ham radios for days, even weeks, if I use the communications plan, and I'm sparingly, and I focus more on digital communications, so I use less power. So what I'm going to have to do is get jumper cables and hook them to my vehicle and run the vehicle and let the alternator charge my battery bank. And that's good as long as you have fuel. Same thing with the generator. Well, I have two 20-gallon gasoline tanks, and I had inventory of those. My 5-gallon fuel is 8 months old. So I need to add some fuel stabilizer to it and some Seafoam to it and run it through and replace it. Have you replaced your fuel? So anyway, power. Start thinking about power. How are you going to power things? If something goes down this week, what are you going to do? Some of you are living in places where you need to get out of. You plan on bugging out. So when was the last time you drove your route? When was the last time you updated your maps? Do you have maps with your bug out plan? Do you have a communications plan along that route? A COMO plan written out, printed in printed form, an updated version of the AMRON plan? Have you went on the map and noted other AMRON operators and members of the American Redoubt Network along your route that you could contact? That you could contact and say, hey, I'm a redoubter. Delta 6-8, this is Whiskey 5-1. Great to meet you. Hey, we're passing through to my brother-in-law's place over in Western Washington. And I got my family with me, and we need a safe place to stay. Can I back my truck up into your shop for the night and then head out in the morning? Communications. Do you have HF where you can communicate with your brother-in-law to let him know you're going to be delayed so he doesn't send out a search party to look for you because you were supposed to be in that night, not really realizing that you would have two flat tires that you had to fix along the route and had to reroute because of checkpoints and because of other security measures that the government's put in place that rerouted you and affected your timeline? Communications. The other thing is food. I want to talk about food real quick because along with the economic collapse that many, many people are calling imminent now, right along with that parallel is the call for expected food shortages. Now here's the deal. You need to get stored up in your pantry. You need to build up a one-year supply. Now, there is several ways to do this, and there's several resources. If you've been following the Paratus Familia, the Prepared Family, Paratus Familia blog, if you've been following survivalblog.com, there are just tons of articles that are archived. There's another one, too, the Pantry Primer, which is a series of how to build a one-year food supply in 3 months. And that was over at the Organic Prepper, Canadian folks that are preppers and liberty-minded people, and they do a great job over there as well. Well, this she writes, you know, in response, you know, to this one-year food supply, why a one-year food supply? Well, this is her response. Simple. A one-year food supply means freedom. Well, that should be enough right there. It means that you are less subject to the whims of the economy. You can handle small disasters with the plum, and you can help others as well. And you aren't reliant on the government if a crisis strikes. That right there is key, critical, drives it right home right there. Because if you are starving, you have to turn to someone. Now, most people are planning or would, their response would be to turn to the government. We saw a great example of this, case in point, Hurricane Katrina. And we saw how well that worked out for the people who couldn't provide for themselves, who were not self-sufficient, who had to rely on the government. It never works out good for you. Now, and the government is planning for this. They are buying millions of tons of food. They are planning for their stockpiling, and they got MREs, your frontline disaster response. They're buying, of course, is it just to help you or is it to help the government? Because they have to feed themselves so they can stay functioning. But a lot of this is earmarked for going into communities to help people in case of food shortages. And along with the help comes all the small, fine lettering, all the other control measures that come with it. It's going to come at a price. And most always, the price is your liberty. So if you don't need to rely on the government because you don't have to go to them for food, well, then they can move on to the next community. Food has been a way, it is a way to control the masses. It always has been, and it will be in the future. Okay. But remember, your food storage is only as good as your ability, or, well, its only purpose is to sustain you until you can begin reproducing or importing again. So you have to reproduce your own food. Don't plan on importing in a major global catastrophic economic collapse where there's a die-off, even in first world countries, developed countries. You better be ready to provide for yourself for a long time. Okay. Maybe approach somebody with property in your bug out location. If you live in an apartment or you live in town right now because of your circumstances, could you coordinate with some other people to invest in a garden area on their property? Some way to contribute, some way or another. Okay, medical. Where do you stand on medical if medical personnel were not available to you? Do you know of someone who is? Who is a nurse? Who is a doctor? Who is a medic? Do you have training? Do you have the ability to take care of your basic medical needs if medical help professional services were overwhelmed and or unavailable? Something to think about. Now, security. First thing, when we mention security, a lot of people, they immediately start thinking guns, patrolling my property, you know, that kind of thing. And you are required to provide for yourselves. Law enforcement agencies increasingly are telling us, look, people, be prepared to provide for your own security. We cannot protect you. Okay, so you obviously need to do that. Start developing neighborhood watches. Start talking to your neighbors about mutual aid and so on and so forth. But another really huge part of security is OPSEC. OPSEC that can be done now. Your food storage, for example, that is private. That is between you and your family and maybe some very close vetted other people. Because Homeland Security also encourages you to be prepared. And by that, they mean having a 72-hour kit until help can arrive. If you have more than 72 hours worth of food, well, when there are people starving, you are a hoarder, and it's not fair. And you're violating the laws of social justice if you don't give it up. And so your OPSEC right now matters. Your OPSEC, unless, like I said, they're vetted, you keep your preps to yourself. And then what you do is when you have somebody in your home Bible study or somebody in your church, somebody in your community, some coworker, all right, that you feel impressed on your heart to help somebody, it's your choice. You're not by force or coercion giving up everything to help the collective. You choose who you feel led to help. And then you can help as much as it doesn't sacrifice your own family, because then you'd be right back in the same boat of not providing for your family by giving everything away to other people. So anyway, security is a big one, but really I want to focus on the OPSEC message. And we've talked about this before when we've talked about prepping, but I want to reiterate this stuff. If something happened this week, what would you do? Could you feed your family? Do you have seeds stored up so this coming spring you could start planting? Do you have the garden area prepared? Could you get out of town safely? Do you have a place to go? How would you coordinate and communicate with them? Someone suggested earlier this week that I was speaking with about the communications. He said, well, there are people out there that are actually pretty smart people. I mean, if they have the radio equipment, they'll figure it out. This was in response to urging people to prepare now with their equipment. I'll tell you what, ask any of the AMRON operators, the ones who go to these meetings and they scratch their heads and they hammer out and they got the wrong setting. They've got the wrong, the squelch is wrong. They don't have the right code put in the radio. They don't have whatever it is. Ask them, if you are so smart, you're going to figure out how to operate your radio on game day if you don't practice now. They're going to stare at you with a blank stare and say, not happening. So someone suggested maybe putting together some training teams that could go around and get everybody up to speed on their communications after something goes down. Now, let's walk through this. What if someone needed to get their radio operational? How would you coordinate with them? How would you get to them? How would you know to get to them to help them with their communications? This is a prime example of putting the cart in front of the horse. So afterward, you need to be able to communicate and you need to already have that worked out. Who are you going to talk to? What frequency? What mode? When are you going to talk to them? Are you going to leave your radio on all the time? Are you going to coordinate beforehand? So what you do is there would be helping people get up to speed after the fact, but it is going to greatly hamper things if people are not self-sufficient, working towards self-sufficiency right now. That means I'm self-sufficient. I don't need to have my hand held through the process of using communications. I don't need somebody to hold my hand to help me plant a garden because I've been doing it for the last 5 years and learning from my mistakes and learning what works and what doesn't. Because there are some people who decide that I'm not going to plant a garden because I don't want to deal with it or I don't have the time or whatever, but I'm going to have all my seeds in this little can, and on game day, I'm going to pull it all out and then I'll plant a garden. But you haven't learned all the little nuances about gardening and what works and what doesn't work, so it will greatly affect your yield, your effectiveness in putting that garden in. My point is, now is the time to do an inventory and ask yourself where you stand on these basic few issues that I've only been able to touch on in the time that I've, in the hour that we've been on. And this is scratching the surface, but these are some pretty critical areas. Communications is how you're going to coordinate things. This is how you are going to tie in. Whoever has communications rules. So you're at the mercy of whatever system is emerging around you if you cannot make informed decisions. And the only way you can make informed decisions is by having access to information. And so for your communications to work properly, that requires power. Unless you're going to use a face-to-face message delivery system with couriers, that could be a very dangerous prospect in a grid-down situation. Because if you're going to get on your bicycle or walk or get on your moped and drive across your county to go meet somebody to pass information, how many checkpoints are you going to have to go through? How many checkpoints are you going to have to cross county lines or across your county? And I'm talking official government-run checkpoints. I'm not talking about all the other ones where you don't want to go unarmed. You don't want to travel unarmed because it's dangerous. But you have to go to point B because you have to get from your place to point B because there was something you forgot to include in your plans and now you got to go meet Joe Schmo on the other side of town. So you go armed. But weapons are illegal. Something to think about. I'm just trying to think through all this stuff because based on several conversations I've had with different people and just kind of the mindset out there is that I'll get on my bicycle and I'll go meet up with so-and-so. I've heard that from several people. And you might be able to in a rural area where there's not lots of controls and people are trying to help people. But how long is that veneer going to stay adhered to humanity? So anyway, I hope I gave you some things to think about. I want you to concentrate. Let me just recap. I want you to concentrate on getting communications together. I want you to concentrate on a way to power it, even if it's just a small little 15-watt solar panel that you can plug into, a car battery, so you can charge your radio back up so you can use it or plug into it directly. I want you to think about a plan where to go, how you're going to get there safely, communications along that route, if you have to bug out or if you have to relocate somewhere. Your security, super important. Food, where you're going to bug out to, is it possible that you could pre-position several of your food items and other articles ahead of time? This is something you need to be thinking about, because there's like in Patriots, there's people that had to leave. Basically, they left so much gear because they didn't plan ahead. Or they got stranded someplace. They didn't have their stuff with them. So have multiple positions, if possible, where you can pre-stage some things. So anyway, yeah, lots to think about there. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. I was going to go into a segment 4 and just cover a couple other little things, but I'm going to hold off because we're already coming up. We're going to be over. So we are over. So we'll go ahead and do that. But I want to just remind you guys, when you get over to... Oh, hey, did I mention? I didn't mention. Katie Armour. Katie Armour is... let's see here. They are on their way. They're doing a bunch of reconfiguring with their business right now, making several improvements, and it's really exciting. But Katie Armour... they're the ones who donated the AR-500 511 BHN rating full body armor kit. It comes with the flat and radius plate. The this is level 3 body armor. The 6x8-inch comfort curve side plates. The triple kangaroo AR mag front pouch. The mag dump pouch, the Amp 3 donated by Amp 3 to accompany this raffle, the blood stopper kit, or also known as the blowout kit, is just an amazing setup. You can mail in your payment for those raffle tickets. And by the way, guys, we didn't forget about you. We are going to be mailing out those raffle tickets to you. And we will keep the stub for the drawing, which will be taking place in December. And there's only $5 a piece for $500 worth of body armor, including plate carrier, or $12 for 3 of those. And of course, also we have... okay, so Amp 3 has donated the Outfitter Gen 2 over for, let me see here. I'm pulling it up right now. I just want to look over it. So I'm not, there's 84 different item types in there. This particular kit comes in the Coyote Brown bag. It's got, man, there's so much stuff here. You have to go check it out, but the videos and everything are there for that. Those raffle tickets. Good thing I'm not chewing gum, because I'm trying to scroll through this and look at the details while I'm talking. This is a retail value of $270. It's just an amazing kit. I'm just drooling all over it. Well, I stood back so I wouldn't get drool on it. But those tickets are only $2 a piece, $5 for 3. And that one is coming up in October. October 5th, to be exact, we will be doing the drawing for that Outfitter. And so, anyway, thanks for your support, Amp 3 and Katie Armour. And all of you who have been helping to support Radio Free Readout by buying raffle tickets and with a chance to have a very Merry Christmas with Level 3 Body Armor in December, and in October, that outfitter bag. Great stuff. Great stuff. Okay, and let me look over my notes. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything and blowing it, because every week I get done and I'm like, oh man, I forgot to mention such and such, whatever it is. But I think I pretty much got everything covered. Violet Sabo, don't forget too, Nets this week, Wednesday and Thursday evening. Wednesday night Nets, the first and third week. Wednesday night is the digital net. Thursday night is the voice nets. So get involved. Viola Sabo sent a couple of quotes to me that she wanted me to pass along to everyone. She's on special assignment in occupied territory right now. And this is the first one. The question came up about our country being a godly nation and the importance of it. Some people say, well, it's not real relevant. And if there was a collapse and then there was a rebuilding, I contend that at least among the leadership and the people who are reforging a new beginning after a collapse, there's no room for anyone who is not a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot. And someone disagreed. Well, you know, maybe shouldn't put so much emphasis on the God thing. You could scare people off. Good. This is my backyard. This is my home. This is the American Redoubt. This is where freedom's going to reign. This is where liberty's going to be fought for. I'm telling you, there's several pockets around the country. They're willing, able, and capable. And it's going to have to be, or we're going to lose it, and we will lose it forever. And the only hope that we have is if it's going to be led by godly men and women. You've pushed that out of the side. That's how we got our country. They weren't afraid to mention God because everyone else was in agreement. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, God. Yeah, center of it. Anyway, that's just the mindset and the mentality of people in the American Redoubt. The majority of them, anyway. Here's the quotes. My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. Abraham Lincoln. And here's another one that she sent. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. George Washington, the first and greatest president this country has ever known, in my humble opinion. And that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. So I don't want to malinger any longer. I just wanted to share some thoughts with you and just kind of share my heart with you, and then share these quotes with you that Viola Sabo was so kind enough to pass along. Keep the letters of encouragement coming in. Remember us in our prayers. There are things that I wish I could go into in detail. Projects that we're working on. They require prayer. They require time. Tireless work. And money. And so I just want to ask you to consider us when you are supporting us with your prayers. For the leadership all across the American Redoubt who have a monumental task ahead of them for what we are facing in our country, and so that they will be able to respond in a way that that glorifies God, that ensures our liberty, that reinforces our values and our views and our protects our heritage, all those Americanism values. So anyway, we just want to ask for your continued support. Tell your like-minded friends and family about us. Get involved. Get yourself involved. Get them involved. And stop being a spectator. Liberty and freedom is not a spectator sport. It requires everyone to get involved, get engaged, and get in the fight. Right? Cool. Okay, you have a blessed week. God bless you and all of yours and everything that you set your hand to. For those of you in the middle of your plans and prayerfully considering relocating to the American Redoubt to join other like-minded, liberty-minded, God-fearing patriots, just may he have his hand on all of you. Okay, until we meet again next week for episode 1324, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off. A couple of other topics are in the works, so it's going to be a big fat surprise, even to me, what we're going to cover next week, because we've got lots to choose from. There's no shortage of material. All right, guys, until we meet again next week, this is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. You've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.